Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, and it's the 14th of January, and I'm recording at 9:58 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time here in chilly London. Okay, well, another very, very interesting day. It started badly, not surprisingly, following yesterday's big drop on Wall Street. Japan got clipped with the Nikkei 225 down 2.68%. Everything else was lower as well. A lot of declines of over 1% in the Asia Pacific region, including Australia, Singapore, Thailand, and South Korea, Taiwan. The only bright spot here occurred on the mainland, the Chinese mainland, and we had Shanghai Composite up 1.97%. And that had looked at the 3,000 level, which had provided support previously a few months ago, and it bounced from that level. And looking at the European stock market indices, they responded mostly to that weakness in the rest of the Asia Pacific region. And closed well down, declines all over 1%, mostly over 1.5% in the EU. The UK market did a little bit better because mining and resources shares generally were firmer, but it was still down 0.75 percentage point. Wall Street finally rebounded and actually managed to hold on to most of it. So the Dow closing up 1.4, and S&P 500 up 1.67, and the NASDAQ up nearly 2% here. So that was a good rally, but it didn't quite offset the weakness that we saw yesterday. But we are getting two-way sharp ranging now on the U.S. stock market. And the three indices that I just mentioned to you, they are down near those August lows. You remember we had those plunges last August. I was on holiday then, but I'm sure you remember it well, and I remember it well, having monitored it. But those plunges down, and then reasonably swift bounces back up. Well, so a little bit of steadying down there, which is hardly surprising overall against background of a short-term oversold condition. I would be surprised if these indices were able to push back upwards anything like as strongly as they did in the second half of August last year. You never know here, and the churning, as I say, that we're seeing here right now shows evenly a balanced supply and demand, at least temporarily. So some demand has returned to the market, in other words. Part of that will be from short covering, but it will take a rally like we saw last year from those August lows to really steady nerves and to offset some of the technical damage that we have seen here. Meanwhile, as you know, the Russell 2000, which is a good breadth indicator, that's in bear market territory, having fallen down 22% as of yesterday's low. Small bear market here, but there's no confirmation that it's over yet. And the more ominously, perhaps, I think the transport index, which had peaked way back in November of 2014, that is definitely in bear market territory overall. So this is not a reassuring environment here overall. The question is just how big a bear are we actually going to get? There are certainly some draconian forecasts out there. There usually are when you get a little bit of market volatility, and I would be wary of the extreme forecasts because they're usually just extrapolations or attention gathering comments or just runaway emotions in here. And it must be said, remember Abby Joseph Cohen from Goldman Sachs? I've never met a more bullish analyst. She is saying that the S&P is fair value at 2100. Well, it closed at 1921 here today, so it's got 180 points to go to reach her fair value. Well, I hope she's right, but I wouldn't bet on it here in the short term. I don't think we'll see a devastating blowout, but the trouble is there are too darn many black swan-type situations. They're now known to us, but they became black swans last year. What about the European migrant crisis? Is the European Union beginning to fall apart, given all the divisions that we're actually seeing there? Is the China situation recoverable without another dive to the downside? Are these, perhaps most important of all, are these really depressed commodity prices, largely because producers ramped up production too much, thinking that China would be increasing its appetite in perpetuity, and also because the commodity producers had the technological advantages, very decisive technological advantages, to produce more, find more, and produce it more cheaply overall. So that's been a big factor in weighing down these commodities. Very, very depressed. And I've said over and over again, I think we needed to see a little bit of an improvement in China, and we also needed to see commodities rebound from these unsustainably bearish low levels here. Okay, now what else has happened on the day? And if we look at the U.S. 10-year, well, it edged up a little. No, it didn't. It didn't. Interestingly, it closed exactly at the same level that we saw yesterday, 2.089%. The VIX, however, edged down a little bit to 23.95, but that's still a nervous reading on VIX, which is hardly surprising. Now, just going back to equities here for a moment, in terms of chinks of light, maybe even a little bit more, in terms of those depressed commodities, the fund I wanted to mention to you, the BlackRock World Mining Trust, that had a good-sized upside key-day reversal off a new low here today. So that's a bullish signal, but it needs to get follow-through tomorrow. So some decent follow-through for BlackRock World Mining Trust on the upside tomorrow would be an important signal, because it's very, very depressed. And miners in general, at least the better miners, but I think a good many miners had some at least small upward dynamics, as did oil companies as well. And my goodness, they've taken a beating. So the ones that are known as leaders or the so-called better quality in the sector, they've got monster dividends in here right now, but they're not going to be able to maintain all those dividends without some pretty good rallies here in these commodity prices. Now, elsewhere, looking at the dollar index a little too steady here, 99.066. So it's just a point away, really, from that danger breakout range just above the 100 level. That would cause problems if we were to see that dollar pushing higher in here in the short to medium term. In the long term, I think it's absolutely certain that it is going to do just that. Now, the only reason why the dollar might have the fundamentals change against it. Sorry, I'm going to have to take the headset off and have a little cough. Scratchy voice. So, what I was saying, apologies for that, what I was saying here is that I think the only fundamental shift that would perhaps keep the dollar under control would be if the Fed had to reverse its quarter point rate hike. Well, that would be a humiliating move for the Fed overall, although I don't think they'll make that the determining factor. I question whether the news will be bad enough to actually necessitate that. But I do feel, whatever happens over the next few months, I do feel that on a longer-term basis that the dollar... I feel the dollar is in a new secular bull market. These usually get years of ranging after the moves to the upside. And certainly the dollar needs a good year or more of just sideways ranging, not far off from where it is right now, to prevent that strength from becoming a real problem for the U.S. Economy and also a number of other economies around the globe. We will see. Meanwhile, the Indian rupee that weakened broke decisively above that 67 rupees to the U.S. dollar in here today. Now, it started the year at about started 2015 at about 62 rupees. So 67 rupees, well, that's not a collapsing currency, and we have had many collapsing currencies among emerging markets and in the Asia-Pacific region generally. But again, it shows that nothing's really making any real upward progress against the U.S. dollar. The Japanese yen has in the short term, but I don't think that will persist. Overall. Now, the Chinese renminbi also, it's still in a range. It's been in a range for over a week, but it pushed to the higher side of that range here, and it is in an overall upward trend. And I would imagine that the Chinese would like to see a little more weakness there. One reason is that they've lost a lot of their competitive advantages against some of the other regional markets, mainly the formerly called Little Tigers, markets like Thailand and what are the others? David, you know them well. Thailand, Malaysia, South Korea, Taiwan, all those, Indonesia, those are the ones that I'm talking about. They have devalued so much that that's improved their competitive advantages against China. So it's hardly surprising if China, I think it would only be an attempt to save face that would prevent that actually happening. And elsewhere, now moving on to the commodity markets. And crude oil, as you might have guessed, against the background of that stock market rally, is somewhat firmer in here. The The Brent crude is at $31.09. That's up 81 cents, having seen $29.70 in here today. Can I clear that throat? Don't know why I have that croaking throat. I never smoked, and it's not nerves. So, or that's at least that's my comment. And looking elsewhere, crude. So the WTI crude up 73 cents, 31.21. Precious metals. Well, a mixed picture here. The palladium up $7, $4.93, nearly $4.94. But silver, as soon as stock markets pick up, these silver and gold fall back, and silver fell back 33 cents to $13.82.5. And palladium, a little, well, it's at, I think it's a little lower, it did $1,000. Wait a minute. Let me start again. Palladium. Platinum. I gave you palladium. That was up over $7. Platinum down 15 to 836. I'm reading the screen correctly here. And the gold market down $15 to 1,078. So, a lot of people feel that precious metals are reasonably cheap, including us. I think that they're in a bottoming area overall. But the headwinds are that strong dollar and the fact that they are only really responding to fear these days. Well, there's been plenty of fear about, and that produces little rallies, but the moment stock markets look slightly better the world looks slightly less likely that it's falling apart, and you see these precious metals weaken once again, albeit mostly within ranges. Now, industrial metals, they were firmer in here today. I think all of them were. They certainly were earlier on today. Copper currently at 197 cents. The CCI index, that's that continuous commodity index, a little firmer off a low that we saw yesterday. But wrap it all up in here. Commodities. We need to see those commodities pick up, and then people will stop worrying about a big deflationary spiral. That's an exaggerated fear. Remember that a lot of that deflation is as a consequence of this accelerated rate of technological innovation. So when you get technology pushing down prices, that's better for a good many other sectors of the global economy, and that's the case that we have today, although people are not reading it that way. Interesting times here, and on that note, all the very best to all of you.